Inside Chicago government.
Any use of power disturbs it.
ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. In this broadcast, Ben and I are talking about the subject of two of his articles that appeared in the Reader. The first on August 8th, 2013, titled "Rahm Gets Into the Real Estate Game with Your Money." And the second article on September 5th, 2013, titled "Come to the South Loop and See How Mayor Rahm's Wasting Your Money." Both of these articles talk about a plan by the City of Chicago and the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority to develop a hotel and sports arena near Michigan and Cermak, just northwest of the McCormick Place complex. For this interview, Ben and I got on our bicycles and took a tour of the neighborhood targeted for the development. We're here at the 2200 block of South Michigan. This is the west side of the, I guess what will be the planned hotel development, right?
That is correct. The big hotel development. There's supposedly a little hotel as well, but let's just concentrate on the big 1,200-room hotel.
It'll be on the south side of Cermak. Tell us what we're looking at here, Ben.
Well, this constitutes what comes as close to blight as this area has. And so, as you can see, on the far north end of the block, there's a building that, part of it anyway, is boarded up. It's without windows. It looks actually like some development is going on in there, but it's not clear if it's being used at the moment. Next to that...
Excuse me, on the third floor, it looks like we can see that there's new ceilings.
Yeah.
New ceiling studs and new windows.
Yeah, it looks like somebody's been working on that building. Next to it, of course, is this used hotel furniture.
That's 2221 South Michigan.
Right, that used hotel furniture store, so... That looks a little shabby, but it's still being used, so it's got some function. I don't know what this building is that's just to the south of the furniture store.
On Google Maps, it's Windy City Hotel Furniture Liquidators. So maybe okay. We have the liquidators on the south side of the building and the retail outlet where they sell the furniture on the north side.
Okay, so this is not up-end development, obviously, but it's somebody's using it. It's functional. Then you have a cleaners next to that, which is obviously an operation. And then you have a recording studio. So basically the north end of this block is the shabbiest part of this whole area. And when you read the plans that the city and the state have for developing this entertainment district, which is what they call it, they focus on this as if to say this were some horribly blighted slum that is in desperate and dire need of development dollars, of your property tax dollars. But they're completely overlooking, and this is classic TIF gerrymandering, all the development that's just to the east and to the north that we rode our bikes through.
Which is pretty good looking, actually. Some high rises, there's some high-end retail. On the north side of Cermak, on Michigan here, there is what looks like luxury apartments with balconies that look like there are many that to be leased yet.
If anybody comes down here, this is a great example of TIF gerrymandering. So what you do is you accentuate the worst part, and worst is in quotes because this is functional, and it's operating, these properties, the quote-unquote worst part of a block in order to justify pouring millions of dollars of property taxes into it, overlooking the development that occurred all around it, which then, of course, begs the question, if the development all around it was able to occur without a handout, why are we wasting our precious resources developing this? Why don't we just let the market move further south, which probably would have had we not had the five-year crash. So, of course, that's the other problem, that the market, as we were talking about when we were biking here, is picking up. So at the very time the real estate market in this area is starting to pick up, that's when Mayor Emanuel is diving in to spend tax dollars on it. So it's not like he's buying low.
It's puzzling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that's one way of saying it.
It's quixotic.
Yeah, it's quixotic. It's utterly insane. This block here is as close as you can come to it. Blighted justification for spending tens of millions of dollars on this project.
You maintain it's a setup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is, like I said, it's classic TIF gerrymandering. You see this happen all the time. When they create a TIF districts, they're very careful to draw the boundaries in such a way as to exclude blocks that have and properties that have already developed so that it could justify giving property taxes. Sometimes they'll go around, the boundaries go around well-developed blocks and then encompass like a parking lot, you know, or a building that has failed.
Cherry-picking the blight.
Exactly, cherry-picking the blight to justify the waste of tax dollars.
Now, on this block, again, this is according to some plans that we've seen, that the north end of this block would be the site of the convention hotel, which extends east to the other side of the block. Do you want to go over to the other side of the block and see what's there?
Right, we'll go to the over. We'll see the famous McHugh property.
All right, let's go take a look. We're here at the southwest corner of Indiana and Cermak. This is a vacant lot owned by McHugh Construction. We can see that by the prominent McHugh posters on the chain link fence. And there's a very attractive poster at the corner that shows what a planned development might look like.
Yes, that's right. There's a data center, a data, depending on how you pronounce it. James McHugh is a prominent developer in this town, contractor, received city approval to build a data center here, and that's been in the works for several years. And, of course, his plans have been aborted by the plans to put a hotel on his site.
So this will be the east side of the hotel that will span the block between Indiana and Michigan.
Right, 1,200-room hotel. It's a big mama.
The city has initially made a move to take this land.
Yes. In its infinite wisdom, the city council, actually not knowing what they were doing, voted to give the city eminent domain quick take authority to go to court and file suit against McHugh to seize his land. Now, as far as I know, as we stand here on the sidewalk, 10 to 4 or whatever day it is, the city has not yet filed that suit.
You wrote about that, and you said that the actual city council maneuver was an approval of a committee meeting minutes.
Yes.
It wasn't an actual vote.
Right. It was a vote approving a minutes of... It was a vote to approve a package that was coming out of the Housing Committee and everything on that package, big and small, including this monumental project here on the corner of Cermak in Indiana, where they're going to spend tens of millions of dollars buying up this land. And so the city council, I would say, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say most of the aldermen did not know what they were doing, voted to give the city the authority to initiate an eminent domain lawsuit.
But the only thing they knew they were doing, for the most part, was approving committee meeting.
Right. If they knew that. I mean, let's be specific. If they knew that, what happened was Ray Suarez, who's the chairman of the Housing Committee, stood up and said, I asked that we approve this, whatever the language was. And Mayor Emanuel said, hearing no objections, and he slammed the gavel down.
So there was no vote called.
No, there was no vote called. Merely it was like he was asking if there are any objections. I would say that if you gave him a lie detector test, most aldermen would pass it if you asked them the question, did you know that there was even a vote? So I don't think they knew what they were voting on, but what they actually did vote on was to give the city the authority to take McHugh to court to take his property. Once they started that ball going, once they go to court, you're talking tens of millions of dollars out the window, because quick take power gives the city the authority, with the judge's approval, to snatch the property and level it. There's really nothing to level here.
Yeah, this is pretty much an empty lot that's ready for construction.
Ready for construction, but the city can board it up, and they could basically rip up his plans to build a data center here and then negotiate with him over how much they're going to pay him. Negotiations will take place in a court with the judge having to decide.
And the money to pay him presumably would come from tax increment financing, but the approval to use TIF money to pay for this property has not yet been approved.
Well, now that's very interesting, isn't it? Think about that. Officially, the city has not authorized TIF expenditures to buy up this property, yet they have effectively authorized the seizure of this property.
And will incur an expense. Yeah. It's legal expense to do that.
Yeah, so many aldermen will tell me, you know, you were incorrect to say that we authorized the expenditure of money to buy this man's land. That'll come later, and we may vote against it. To which I say, oh, I think we'll be a little late at that stage of the game. You're going to come in at the last moment after you've seized the man's land, blocked his attempt to put his data center up, put the fences around there, and then you're going to say, oh, no, now we're not going to expend it. Well, then he'll countersue the city for lost value or something. So I think effectively the deal was done on a voice vote that most aldermen didn't even know was occurring.
And now if we just turn to where our backs are now and look across the street, across Cermak, we see on the east side of Indiana, just north of Cermak, we see the local branch of the Lakeside Bank. And then to the east of it, looks like a former industrial building that's now pretty much a parking lot. And we know that the Lakeside Bank is owned by the Cacciatore family, who claims that it's their best-performing branch of Lakeside Bank. And the building to the east on the right of that lot is owned by a company called CenterPoint, which just acquired it in auction this past spring. So tell us what's going on with these properties.
Well, like McHugh, these properties are subject of an eminent domain case, but unlike McHugh, the governmental entity that is suing, and here's where it gets complicated, is the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority, which is a joint city-state entity whose function is to essentially oversee McCormick Place and Navy Pier.
Otherwise known as MCPier, this authority?
That's correct. It consists of gubernatorial governor appointees and mayoral appointees.
So why is it that the city is moving to take this McHugh property behind us over here on Indiana, but MCPier is moving to take the CenterPoint property across the street?
There's a legal reason for that, and I don't know the answer to that. For some reason, MCPier's authority does not extend to this block, but it does extend to that. Don't ask me why. Maybe because there's some kind of legal...
Might be geographical?
Geographical. But just so everybody knows, it's almost irrelevant who the body is that's taking Lakeside Bank and CenterPoint to court, because it's city property tax dollars that will be used to purchase the property. So even though MCPier is the one suing, it's Chicago TIF dollars that will be used eventually to buy the Lakeside Bank property.
That's pretty much been stated by the Emanuel administration that that's the intent.
Yes, and there's an intergovernmental agreement between MCPier and the city of Chicago on that matter. Although I don't know if that intergovernmental agreement has been officially approved by the city council. So once again, the aldermen, when you catch them on this, go, well, officially, we've not sanctioned that. But this whole thing is happening, whether they sanction it or not, fellas.
So I want to point out that the property we're now looking at across the street north of CIRMEC, this is where the intended arena will go, or the, what are they calling it? The
entertainment center.
Yeah. Which will be sometimes used for DePaul University to play basketball at. Mm-hmm. I want to point out that the family that owns Lakeside Bank, Cacciatore, Victor Cacciatore Sr., has reportedly made over $1 million in contributions to DePaul University, and most of that going to upgrades to its current sports facility. So it's interesting that he's now in a position to get money from the city to create an arena at which the university, to which he's a major donor, would benefit. Any comments on that?
I think interesting. That is interesting. Wow. So you're telling me that a significant donor to DePaul stands in line to be the beneficiary of a big payout for the city to buy his land?
He's quoted in the press as being against the project. Do you believe him?
Well, if he said it, of course I believe him. Yes. I believe him.
So this is we're looking at the south end of what would be the planned entertainment center, the arena. Let's go over and look at the other side of that block.
Sounds good.
We're here in front of the Harriet Reese House, which is a Chicago landmark built 1895, 1898, somewhere in there. And we just happened to run into, your name is?
Paul Homan from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm an architect specializing in historic preservation.
So Ben and I are standing here looking at this house, and Ben asked the question, is there something distinct? What's distinctive about this house?
Well, it certainly stands out as one of the original mansions that once lined this entire street of Prairie Avenue here for, you know, four or five blocks, when everybody who was everybody in Chicago lived, you know, in this area. I don't know, you know, a lot about the particular history of this house, but it's probably kind of maybe Renaissance revival. It's got kind of a mix of things going on, and they're a little Romanesque. It's obviously a building that is well worth preserving.
Now, Ben, you said you thought they're going to move it.
Yeah, they have to move it. They can't tear it down, so I don't know where they're going to move it, and I don't know where they're going to find the money to move it.
Who owns it right now?
This house is owned by the Martorina family.
Certainly the people who are building the arena should put up the money to move it if they're buying people out,
well,
right?
People putting up the money to build the arena are the public of Chicago, who are clueless as always and aren't really aware that they're putting up the money, that it's being put up on their behalf.
I'm not sure what the finances of Chicago are like, but I understand the state of Illinois is quite broke.
Yeah, and well, the city of Chicago schools are so broke they've closed some, they've fired teachers, they've laid off people.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're taking money from the schools to buy up this land, and eventually they're going to pay. Take money from the schools to move this building.
House, to build
wherever.
A basketball arena.
Maybe they'll move it there. There's a vacant lot across the street, you know.
That would actually make a lot of sense.
But that vacant lot is prime development site, it says.
Paul, what would it take to move a building like this?
couple hundred thousand dollars at least.
That sounds cheap.
That's just the moving. I mean, you're going to have to find a piece of land, and I'm sure land isn't cheap here, build a foundation for it, then get somebody to come up here and put the thing up on beams and roll it down the street to wherever it's going
to
go.
And to get it on beams, what do? They jack it up?
What they'll do is they'll basically drill holes on either side of the house at the basement level, put beams, steel beams, all the way through the house, and then they'll put longer beams going the other direction, connect it all so that you have a rigid steel frame under the house. And then they take hydraulic jacks and, you know, jack it up and get, it's not really a truck bed, but like kind of a like a wheelbase that they can control, and they put that underneath, and then they'll roll it down the street or wherever it's going to go. I'm curious, is there another arena that's, is there a basketball team here that plays somewhere else and they're just moving, or what?
That's a great question. I mean, a rational question from a man from out of town trying to figure out what...
I'm a KU basketball fan, so I'm a Jayhawk and a fellow Jayhawk. College basketball.
Okay. They currently play in a suburban arena, which is far removed from their campus. It's not at all like Kansas. Hardly anyone goes, relatively speaking. A very mediocre team.
I haven't heard of them.
Blue Demons. So,
there's a reason.
There's a reason. They had a run in the late 70s, early 80s. Okay. Anyway, they haven't been good since then. So in its infinite wisdom, DePaul has decided to join with the city in this project. They're moving south from their campus to put an arena, which they probably won't be able to sell out because they're not that good to begin with.
Right.
It makes no sense from their perspective, but really makes no sense from taxpayers' perspective, which, of course, nobody cares about.
So next to the Harriet Reese house is a vacant lot on the north side of the house here. And as I understand it, this lot is already owned by McPeer.
Beautiful. They've already spent money gobbling it up.
So it's ready to be developed.
Why don't we just make it a skinny arena and put it right there and then not worry about anything?
It could be for peewee basketball.
Yeah, peewee basketball. Yeah, you're right. There have been various proposals that have floated around for the last several years about building arenas and building hotels, et cetera, et cetera. And this is the first time that the city and the McPeer Authority have joined forces on one particular project.
So many pieces in play here, and we'll be standing by to see what gets developed, how lawsuits turn out, and how they move this house.
Well, yes, all that. And do you have any predictions as to what will actually be developed here? Do you think this will come through, or do you think this will be sort of like Block 37?
I think there's a steamroller coming.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Take care, Dave.
Listeners, you can find photos of our tour through the Michigan Cermak area. Simply go to the description of this interview at shygov.com. As always, we welcome your suggestions for future interviews via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.